afternoon. Sat through the fog and all the way to the sun, bright sunlight. So wonderful. How this all works in this one little space. I always enjoy these Saturday sits when the sun comes through these long windows and goes long stretch of sunlight across the rug that just slowly moves across the rug as we sit long, long, long. Sitting long like this is such a treat. I brought some copies of the I forget the title of the book that we just published. Seeds of Change. It's such a long title, I can't remember it.
I had to look it up. So
Seeds of Virtue, Seeds of Change. And it's Dharma talks, each one by a different American teacher, woman teacher. So it's very limited in that way. It's kind of strange. It's the second book, it's the third book that's come out that way. And there's another one on the way about the precepts, or the Eightfold Path, I think, is the next one. Asking each teacher to talk about one of the Eightfold Paths to see what comes out from each one. And it's so remarkable to go through this, each one having pretty much the same kind of training, some more in Suzuki Roshi's or Maizumi or Katagiri. I think those three are the main teachers that people have come from to then become teachers. Almost all Japanese, so we've inherited all the Japanese way of doing this. But for all that, we have the same chanting books and the same, pretty much the same schedule that we sit all year long. When we sit Rohatsu Sesshin for Buddha's passing, everybody all over the world who is this kind of Buddhist is sitting also. And yet, how different each one is. And I think it points to our privilege of cultivating our practice in our own way, working hard to understand it as well as we can, and in as much depth as we can, through mostly our experience of sitting, but also of some study, some real study, as we've been doing here at Floating Zendo. And then finding our own way of expressing it, living it, being it, rather than trying to fit into a particular kind of shape and form. And reading these books, especially these Dharma talks, but the other one also with the koans, each teacher is so utterly different from the other ones. It's so interesting. And each one shines a completely unique kind of light on the same truth, because we all have different experiences, of course. From the moment the sperm met the egg, it was all a different experience from any other sperm and egg that ever happened or that ever will happen. And so, of course, we are unique, each one of us. But the temptation is to try to live up to some sort of standard, especially once we become involved with any kind of institution, because we need some sort of framework, which is what institution means. It means framework. And that holds the practice, holds us in it in a safe and sturdy way. But if we get stuck with that shape, it's not alive anymore. So my thought always is how to keep the life in this, in my life and in my understanding of the life of this practice that we call Soto Zen or Buddhism or something. I just read a wonderful little quote from a novel where a little girl is told that she was living in the United States of America. She said, "Oh, is that what this place is called?" And then she says, "Well, I guess you have to call it something." So I think that's the truth of it. We have to be able to talk to each other. And so we need ways of expressing where we are and what we know about our presence. At the same time, our own presence is so unique that it's important to work very hard not to lose that. Because that is Buddha's way. That is really the requirement, you could say. That's why we're here, is to be who we are. Not to try to be somebody else, not to live up to somebody else's idea of who or what we should be. It makes it very interesting to the study of that, to really look at what's here. Because if we look beyond the story that we're always making up about who we are, we see so many strange and interesting things. There are passages in our life where we'll do something and say, "But that wasn't like me." But of course, me is vast. Like me is bigger than we can ever know. And the best way of being that is not to try to be something, but to allow ourselves to be surprised by what comes out. "Oh, I said that. Oh, I thought that." And make that part of our study, part of our understanding. We're a part of the great flow of life. And what we are and what we have is very limited, very short, and extremely precious. I was talking with Balin the other day. He was down in San Diego. I love Skype. I just love being able to talk to people face to face. And it doesn't matter where you are. The where part is gone, and you're just there. And he was saying some of the things he loved that Dogen had said. And one of them was Dogen reminding us that we live in Buddha's house. We don't often think about our life in that way. He also says somewhere that we are Buddha's child. We don't often think of ourselves that way also. And yet, I think in the depth of our being, that's what it is. We live in Buddha's house. And so whatever space we find ourselves in, whatever time we find ourselves in, it's Buddha's time and space. I've been doing some sketching again after many years of not picking up a pencil or a charcoal, and I have more time now. It's really wonderful. Just wait. You can do all kinds of things. And I'm rediscovering what it is when you draw something. First, you lose yourself. Immediately, you lose yourself. And then you see in a completely different way. You see the so-called object as a part of yourself. It becomes obvious that it's a part of yourself. We always say all things are our nature, all things are Buddha nature. But to experience it takes very little, just to make a connection and drop the sense of self. It takes very little. But we often don't do this. And I think that's why art is so important in Buddhist practice. I think all different kinds of arts, but the Japanese have developed exquisite ways of expressing Buddha nature. But it's not something fancy and esoteric and sublime and spiritual. It's a way of experience ourselves in the world. Experience Buddha's world, Buddha's house. We mostly see things as junk and stuff. We talk about stuff all the time. And it just means it's useless, worthless, pointless. And yet each and every single thing, every ruffle on the cushion over there, and every atom of that door, if we truly experience them as they are, and this little house becomes Buddha's house. And as I was thinking about this, I was remembering my early years of practicing, and how hard Sesshin was, and how hard I worked to try to understand this practice and have some words for it. And an old Christian thing came up in my mind, because I was raised in the Congregational Church and went to Sunday school and had Sunday school teachers. And one of the few things that I took away from that was this: goodness and mercy will be with me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when I thought that, I thought, oh, now I know what that meant. It's this thing. And the more we can remember, the more we can keep ourselves present for the presence of it is what taking refuge is about. When we take refuge, we say, return to Buddha, return to Dharma, return to Sangha. And so over and over we come back. And of course there's no place to come back to except right here and right now. So reading all these wonderful different stories, each one of these wonderful teachers has had many experiences of living, you could say, as the house of Buddha, or in or of the house of Buddha, and have found ways of expressing it and encouraging us and nourishing us through their different experiences. I've been doing this for a really long time now, and I will always be inspired by these kinds of words, these kinds of models, you could say. Not to look up to or to compare, but just to admire. Admire the ruffles on the cushion. Admire the great teachers. Admire this own life of me and each one of us as we return over and over again in the house of Buddha. So that's a tiny talk, but you may have something to add. Wendy?
So, is the house of Buddha something we construct, or is it just everything?
It's everything.
It's ISIS and all that's going on in Ebola and all of that.
All of that.
And that brings us joy because we can include it.
Yes, absolutely. It's a view that's full of appreciation and love. And pity and sorrow and joy and thanksgiving, it's all there, all here.
So thinking about this word dwell and what that, what the connotation of dwell is as opposed to live in or reside in or something like that.
That's a nice point. It's different, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a committed rather than just an abstraction.
It also makes me think of, I don't know, somehow someplace but not really arranging it differently. I don't know how to describe it. Kind of like just letting it be how it is, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's another version of the being with,
mm-hmm.
you know, the vowing to be with all things. And it doesn't mean just being with stuff. It means being out there and ready to lend a hand wherever you are, and whatever needs it, we're there for. We're alive.
But also that kind of commitment and sense of longevity as well, I think,
mm-hmm.
from dwelling, that you're kind of in it for the long haul.
That's what they say,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah. I had an experience the other day at the pharmacy. I had to wait, as usual, and sit in a chair. And an old, dried up guy who smelled of sweat and cigarettes and who knows what came in tremendous pain. He could hardly walk. He was hurting so much and sat down next to me. And I thought, what can I say? What can I do? There's nothing I can do for this guy. He's probably a homeless guy, and I know my mind is going blah, blah, blah. And then I looked at him, and he had this beautiful cane. And it was much prettier than my cane. So I admired it with him, and we had a very nice conversation. And I just thought, that's what it is. It's nothing fancy or special. It's just stopping long enough to notice and to be with whatever shows up, and actually enjoy it very much. I wish I could have gotten to know him. He was pretty pitiful, but also wide awake, as a lot of those people are. And you just want to. Just part of the family. But it takes some stopping, a little stopping, and I thought later I could have been a little faster than that, but it took a while. For a lot more sitting. Maybe we should make the best use of it as we can. I brought some copies of the book if you all are interested in it. It's out there for I think it's $10 per copy.
Sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, Ms. Dawn, shall we begin?